Hello, Taurus, and welcome to your 2014 birthday report. My name is Eric Francis, the astrologer who will be with you talking about this stuff, bringing in an interpretation of what your transits and all these planets that are gathered in your sign are about. I'm recording on the morning of the annular solar eclipse in your sign. I like to do these on the new moon, so I get to do that this month. So about 6 hours ago, 6 or 7 hours ago, there was a pretty good solar eclipse in Taurus. It was an annular eclipse, which is basically a total eclipse where the moon is a bit too far from the Earth to actually completely cover over the sun. There may be a metaphor in that, and we'll see what emerges. Just a brief note about the format of this reading. First, I'm going to talk about your astrology, and I'm planning on doing that in layers. Astrology is often best thought of as a layering process, where you start with what is sometimes the most apparent or the most obvious, and then work your way down through the deeper levels as the subtler messages come out. I will be looking predominantly at three things. What the story is involving a mysterious situation in your relationships, as well as a mirror of that in what's going on with you. And then I have some thoughts about your professional activity and something coming through about your communication skills and how to handle the message that you deliver to the world, because there's a lot about messages in your chart, with you being in the role of the messenger. Then in the third section, I like to do a tarot reading using the Voyager Tarot by a guy named James Wanless, a beautiful deck that I would recommend as a starting deck for anyone who's getting involved in tarot. But what I will do is I will read the cards and provide you with a photo of the cards that's right on the page that you are looking at, or at least it's linked from the page that you're looking at. All right, so starting with what is the most obvious, the thing that stands out in your charts above all else for this era of history, apart from the eclipse, which I'm going to get to in a moment, is that Saturn is in your opposite sign. Saturn is in Scorpio. And Saturn in one's opposite sign has a few different, what you might think of as standard definitions that I have found work pretty well. So the first standard interpretation, again, that I have found works, of Saturn moving through your opposite sign, which would be your seventh solar house if you're Taurus Sun, and seventh house by whole sign houses if you are Taurus Rising, is that there is a clean sweep in either your relationships or your concept of relationships. There's a whole new idea. Seventh house Saturn transit can be frustrating. It can appear as a kind of a block or a stuck situation in your relationships. That's one way that it will typically manifest. But the other way it will typically manifest is as a lot of change. And so if you're in the stuck mode, you might want to ask if you're not getting ongoing, continual messages to change. Some situation, some value, some attitude, something that you probably know what it is. So let's say that Saturn represents the tension between things being stuck and the impulse to change. Now, when it's working unconsciously, Saturn through the seventh house can act like everything is just being, you know, taken away. So you may find suddenly that all the relationships or prospects that you had suddenly are not there. And I would look at that, if it's happening, as an opening, as a way to clear space so that you can experience something new. can have a very helpful function in that regard. Now, there's a whole other side to Saturn in the seventh house, which is basically the opposite of everything I have just said, which is the potential for the solidification of an existing relationship. Now, that solidification process can come through a series of trials, or it can come through a conscious commitment, or it can be an experience of the relationship simply happening. It's there. And you realize that, okay, this is what I've been asking for on some level, or this is what it's time for, Saturn being the lord of what it's time for in a lot of contexts. And there is sometimes a question there. And the question is sometimes about being presented with an opportunity, but at the same time also encountering a lot of fear. And so one question about Saturn in the seventh, especially in Scorpio, is what is your experience of the fear of intimacy? Now, in our society, at least at some point in the growth cycle of nearly every person, there is a kind of a drama around the fear of intimacy. And there's a lot of workarounds, and there's a lot of hedges, and there's a lot of ways to have intimate relationships that are not so intimate. But you're a spiritual seeker. You're someone looking for psychological insight into yourself. And so we can raise this question as a conscious question, not as a thing that's just merely there to have a workaround, and so, you know, you can do a kind of a less scary form of relationship. And the question is, what is your fear level around getting close to people? And how do you respond to your fear level? Do you tend to confront the fear and let it be a subject of communication with a partner or a prospective partner? Or do you basically run away? And a lot of people do a lot of running away until they figure out that ultimately they still end up with themselves every time they run away, and there is no running away from yourself. I think if you could say that Taurus has one resounding message, it could be there's no running away from yourself. And so I would propose this question to you. How do you respond when the potential for contact is there? How do you respond when you meet someone that you really might care about? What presumptions do you make? What side of your self-esteem, knowing that you have two distinct sides of your self-esteem, a very confident side and a much less confident side that seem to take turns kind of running the show, which side of your self-esteem do you bring forward? Do you respect yourself enough to acknowledge that someone might respect you, or do you assume that you're really not worthy of someone's affection and do what you can to push them away? And the presence of Saturn in your relationship house, regardless of which one of these two major scenarios it represents, the clean sweep scenario, the all of my previous relationships are no longer viable, or the one I'm in seems to be like something I can't do anymore, versus the other side of the equation being a confrontation with an opportunity that you can engage with, a chance to actually be close to someone, to be intimate with someone. Regardless of which of those scenarios might be unfolding in your life, the question is the same, that the dominant theme is that of relationship and intimacy and the importance of relationship, however you choose to look at it and however you are experiencing it. Really, no matter what else is going on in one's chart, and there is plenty going on, but whatever in your chart, but whatever else is going on in one's chart, it's kind of difficult to ignore a Saturn transit. When Saturn is present somewhere, for example, in one's opposite sign, which would qualify as an angular house, any house that is a square or opposite your own, so for Taurus, that would be anything going on in Scorpio or Leo or Aquarius is going to have more significance. And of the traditional or classical planets, the only one that is in an angular house for you is Saturn right now. And so Saturn has a very strong presence, and Saturn's presence can be heavy. It can represent a time of significant growth, and there is, with Saturn, almost always a before and after type scenario. I would say going out from the planets closest to the sun, the first planet out from the sun that we're the most likely to get a distinct before and after scenario. Life was one way before this transit, and now it's another way after this transit, is a Saturn transit. And there's always that sensation that Saturn is going to take something away. There's almost always that feeling of a little bit of, or a lot of fear of loss associated with Saturn. And depending on who you are and depending on what planets you have in Taurus and Scorpio, that will manifest in a different way. For that kind of subtlety, we need to really look at your chart. And you can do that, and you can see what planets you've got in Taurus and in Scorpio, which Saturn is going to be having the most influence over, and assessing how that compares to your life as you know it. But the theme remains that Saturn is pointing to the most meaningful questions that you are asking at the moment. I'm going to take this a little bit deeper, but the questions you're the most likely to be asking are coming from Saturn. And we live in a time, one of the reasons why this is so significant, when intimacy is all but avoided, it is considered by many people to be the last thing that they want. I had no idea that it would get this bad. I had no idea that the culture would go so far in the direction away from healthy, loving, in-person, sensual or sensuous contact. Now, you cannot really avoid that desire. One thing we can say safely about you as a Taurus is that you need contact. You need to be close to people. You need a relationship or some form of relating, intimate relating, more than most people. That's something to keep an eye on. When we hold the mirror up to the seventh house Saturn transit and see what it looks like in a mirror, we're going to learn a lot more. But the times that we are living in, I think, are mainly frightening for one reason, which is a persistent message about dehumanizing ourselves and why we need to really, you know, worship the god of technology and do whatever we can do to avoid sensuous human contact. Contact with other humans. A lot of people get much more emotional grounding and fulfillment from the critters that they live with, because so many humans seem so hell-bent on avoiding contact. which leads me to the more complex description of Saturn in your opposite sign. So we get the standard readings that I've just gone through, the clean sweep reading, the confrontation with intimacy reading. It would seem to me, from a careful reading of your charts, now through several different 2014 reports and many horoscopes, that there is a much more complex situation underlying the standard narratives, the standard questions, the clean sweep versus the confrontation with intimacy. This setup in your chart appears to be more of a paradox. There appears to be more of a question being asked, or at least something that is persistently challenging, that you are likely to be finding difficult to figure out why things need to be that way. And it is not clear that you don't belong in a relationship situation. It looks like a very specific one, but we can speak generally whether or not you're in a relationship situation. But let's go on the presumption that there is a person with whom you're involved in some way. And the charts are indicating that it is not clear that you don't belong there, but it's also not clear that you do belong there. And the question seems to hinge on what is really going on with this person, which by all indications is extremely mysterious. There is not a clear indicator of what this partner is going through, but there are circumstances that are described. And here's one thing, or two or three things, that I can tell you. And by the way, sometimes it helps to use astrology as a metaphor. So I'm going to risk taking 3 minutes here and describe the metaphor, because sometimes just hearing the astrological setup can provide some inner vision. Saturn is currently in Scorpio, your opposite sign. And Scorpio itself has a traditional ruler, Mars, and a modern ruler, Pluto. And Saturn rules the sign Capricorn, and it also is exalted in the sign Libra. So we have Saturn in Scorpio associated with two signs. We have Scorpio associated with two planets. And what is interesting is that Scorpio, its rulers are in the signs associated with Saturn. And the signs associated with Saturn have their ruler in Scorpio. This is called mutual reception or mixed reception, planets occupying one another's signs. Now, I'm not sure I got that across, but I'll give you, let me say it a different way since that only took a minute. I'll explain it a different way. We'll go one point at a time. Traditional ruler of Scorpio is Mars. Mars is currently retrograde in Libra. The traditional exalted planet of Libra is Saturn. Saturn is in Scorpio. That is a reception. Saturn is in Mars' sign, and Mars is in Saturn's sign. You may not think Saturn is associated with Libra, but it really is. It's exalted in Libra. That's a kind of rulership. So you have one situation indicated there. And here's what this tells me. And this is a very powerful situation because it involves classical planets, which absolutely are associated with the signs that we have tracked back all the way through antiquity. And the question seems to be, what is this person going through? What is the scenario that the partner involved is going through? And the partner involved seems to be going through a kind of a healing scenario of some kind. Now, if you have the concept that someone that you're involved with is on some kind of a thing, some kind of a healing project or a thing that requires a healing project, I would propose that the topic of that healing project is a past relationship about which they still may be concerned or in which they still may be in some way emotionally involved or hung up. Alternately, they may not be hung up in the relationship itself, but the mark that that relationship and that other relationships from the past have left on them are impacting their life now, and there is a necessity to resolve what you might think of as the residual effect of those past relationships. And that can be a bit alienating for you, because we all know how it is when we're with someone and they're involved with someone else, whatever it might be. And I will say that there is a fairly dependable problem on this planet of people being involved in their previous unresolved relationships. So the best thing you can do is to be present for the person and not fail to be present for yourself. Given the fact that the involvement or investment in the previous relationship is described by Mars retrograde, which is a relatively transient factor. It's not one of these things that hangs out for years or decades like some planets do. It comes and goes in a few seasons. I would say this is worth being cool about. You have enough on your mind to make the space for other people to address their concerns. Plus, whatever this person is going through looks like it was something that you've been through a few times and could stand to learn something from. And you are in a position to be supportive without sacrificing yourself. You might have to sacrifice your idea of what a fully fulfilling relationship is supposed to be, but this is often the unicorn that everyone's looking for. And when we get going on what the mirror has to say about this, I'll have some additional ideas. Okay. Briefly on the Mars direct schedule, I've got my little nifty post-it note. Mars stations direct on the 19th of May, right at the end of the Sun's run through Taurus. Just as the Sun is going into Gemini, Mars stations direct. Then it's going to take Mars the rest of May and all of June and the first 25 days of July, basically 2 months and 6 days, so more than 2 months, to get out of Libra. And so from the time Mars stations direct on the 19th, figure 2 more months of whoever working out their previous questions, their previous relationship involvements, if that's the issue. But it looks like that's a fair description of the issue, if it's not exactly the issue. I would add this. If you determine, let's say it's sometime in August, and the same story is unfolding, the same thing is happening, that is a time to consider your involvement. There are people who spend their lives perpetually living the last relationship. And there are some people who have to work out the last relationship, and there's a difference. And if you figure out that you're with someone who's perpetually living out the last relationship, you're unlikely to get what you want from them, the experience that you want. You're unlikely to have what you offer, which I think for a lot of people is the more important part of a relationship. I mean, there's a world of getters and there's a world of givers. And in the world of givers, there's nothing more horrible than not having what you give be appreciated. And if you notice that that's the case sometime in August, so we're at mid-spring holiday. Let's give it till midsummer holiday. That is around the 2nd of August. It's called Lammas. I don't know how to pronounce that one in the Gaelic pronunciation. It's the only one I can pronounce. 90 days from now. 90 days from your birthday. How about reassess the relationship? Along the way, notice what's going on. Reality check this theory that I've got, that if there is some kind of a disconnect, if there is some kind of a disconnect, that it may involve the person's previous involvement. And furthermore, it may go back several layers, and it may involve their need to work out a whole pattern in their relationships. And you are the latest forum for their relationship pattern to be worked out. One more mutual reception. This one is also quite interesting. See how that worked, where I'm mixing the themes of Saturn and Mars, which are bound by being in one another's signs. That adds a more complex interpretation, and it's the kind of thing that you're only going to get from a professional astrologer. You're unlikely to get it from any form of a prepared reading, except the way that I'm doing this, which is this kind of really interesting way of blending a report, a reading, with the deeper layers of how astrology works. And mutual reception is one of the trickier things to read. I am fascinated by mutual receptions. They show up in the most intriguing places, and they always sneak into charts. And I have not heard or read much discussion at all about this, but I do keep coming back to it. There's one more. Now, this involves a modern planet, Pluto. Modern planet meaning it was discovered from Uranus on. Traditional planets come first, then the modern planets come second, and then the minor planets are kind of the third group. The modern planets are Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and Chiron. We might include Eris in that also, because it's a major factor. Modern planet, Pluto, is in Capricorn. Capricorn is the sign that Saturn rules. Saturn is in Scorpio. Pluto is the modern ruler of Scorpio. So if we bend the mutual reception rule, which is a rule that only applies to traditional planets, but if we modernize that rule and we bring it forward and we say, well, Pluto, we know that Pluto has a really good affinity with Scorpio. That's a real thing. That's not any kind of a pretend connection. Pluto and Saturn are in an energy bond. And let's see how to handle this. The first thing that comes to mind is the ninth house, where Pluto is, represents spirituality, but it also represents religion and religiosity. Religiosity is someone's parents who were party animals, and then one day they discover fundamentalist Christianity, and they give up being party animals, and then they become fundamentalist Christianity addicts, and suddenly everything is all about the Romans and, you know, blah, 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 and reading from the Bible all day long, and religion becomes a kind of a drug. Now, there's two takes on Pluto in the ninth house. One of them is that it can be an obsession with religiosity, that it can be represent that exact very thing, a kind of an evangelical or, you know, kind of approach to religion, where there's a strict moralism and an obsession with this kind of Judeo-Christian God's version of right and wrong. But the other thing it can represent, I think is more likely to represent, is a dismantling of all of that. Now, of the two, the religiosity is easier to fall into. It's easier to slip on that banana peel and then suddenly find yourself, you know, quoting the Ten Commandments. However, the impulse to question one's religious background and the psychiatric quality of most religion, and by psychiatric I mean suitable for institutionalizing because it's so sick. The impulse to question that is likely to be very strong in your chart if you are vaguely awake. And the thing about the influence of religion is that it is sly. It is subtle. You have all kinds of people who are supposedly raised atheist, who are as obsessed by religion as anyone else, only they call it something else because they were told that their family was atheist and they're not atheist. But the rules of the game are essentially identical, only it's just the mode of enforcement is different. So I would suggest you look for the under-the-table influence of religion in your life and let Pluto do its work, or cooperate with Pluto doing its work of dismantling that psychology, which is likely to be closely affiliated with the psychology of an early caregiver, possibly your mother. Possibly your mother's obsession with, association with, connection with, belief in religion or religiosity. There was a kind of a, somewhere in the genetic line, not far from you, was an approach to religion that has influenced you. And it's influenced you as a kind of orthodoxy. And though you may have grown, and maybe you're 35 or 45 or 55, and you realize, well, all right, I don't need to hang the Pope on the wall, the influence is insidious. And Pluto wants to go deep and get underneath it and recognize the ways in which this has influenced your values, the ways in which it has shaped your value structure and led to the kind of underlying thoughts that influence the way that you think on the more surface levels. Now, here's where the connection to relationships comes in. Religion has all but taken over relationships. It has strived to do that by having all of these strict dictums around marriage and basically being the only place where legitimate sex licenses are issued. It's kind of like the fishing license that you get at Anaconda Sports. The way you get the sex license is you go to church and you get a marriage certificate. Then you don't have to feel guilty about having sex. Now, we don't all necessarily feel this way, but this game is played, and in my short lifetime, I have watched it be played more and more and more intensely. It serves as a contrast that I grew up in the 70s, when there was at least a concept of more freedom, a concept of a little more independence from an institutional view of everything. But now, since that time, since the early 80s, there has been an increasing emphasis. And the Equal Rights Amendment was voted down. It's technically still pending, but there is no Equal Rights Amendment. If you want an interesting experience, I promise you, Google the Equal Rights Amendment. You'll be taken to the Wikipedia page. Read how simple the Equal Rights Amendment is, how few words. It's something like 11 words or something like that. And ask yourself why this didn't pass. And in the process of it not passing, a reactionary, hyper-traditional, nuclear family-based view of relationships was imposed. And the closest thing that we are coming to blowback against that, to push back against that, is A, hookup culture. Thank you. And same-sex marriage, which is only old wine in new bottles. I believe it's very important that all people have the same rights. That the rights that are bestowed by marriage should not only be bestowed to heterosexual people. And there are plenty of rights that are bestowed by marriage. So therefore, it is absolutely discriminatory to not allow same-sex couples to marry. And I would say even to allow three people or four people to marry. But that's another discussion. The question beyond all of that is, what is with this traditionalism? And so the relationship between Saturn and Pluto, fifth house, seventh house relationships, ninth house spirituality, religion and religiosity, is saying, what is the influence of religion and religiosity on your relationships? And in what way are you engaging, no pun intended, with that influence? And what are you doing to go beyond it? Because it looks to me like your charts are saying there is plenty that you are doing or wanting to do to update and modernize your concept of relationship as it connects to all this traditional stuff. And again, I want to leave the door open for the possibility of those who are absolutely committed to what they think of as the right way, the one right way. I don't think it's that possible. It's certainly in, you know, everything's possible in quantum universe. That if you're listening to this, you're probably one of the people questioning rather than one of the people who are obsessed with a kind of a retro approach to making sure the old way, which is the only right way, is the one way that you're going to do things. I'm going to guess that that's not where you're coming from, that you recognize that you need more flexibility. You must have more flexibility in your life than a set of rules and laws that were passed down to you by who knows who. This is so often the case with these dysfunctional traditions, that they're imposed on us, but we don't really even know who's doing the imposing. Like, you look at who influenced your parents and who influenced them and where did this come from? So this leaves you, the light bulb, the aware person, the modern person, capable of asking questions. And because your chart is set up the way that it is, you are in a wonderful position to question tradition and to buck tradition. And you have the added influence of a person in your life, quite potentially, who has been through doing it the right way, for whom it didn't work out, maybe a lot of times. Maybe you've tried to do it the right way, stick a lot of quotes around that, the right way, for whom it didn't work out a good number of times. There is no better ad for, gee, this tradition might not quite work. I've got to develop something that does work for me and the people that I care about. All right, I'm going to take a little break, and then we're going to get out the cosmic mirror, the Book of Blue reflecting device, to see what this looks like from completely the opposite direction.